Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, today's daf is daf chet. We're going to start from the last line on Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara is going back on the inyan of Bekohen Talia Miltzer. As you'll recall, we learned yesterday in the Mishnah and in the Gemara that if Chas V'Shalom a person has a chashash, he has a concern that he has tzara'as, the only one that can determine whether he does or does not is the Kohen, not the physicians, and not the rocket scientists, and not the Talmidei Chachamim. It's gotta be the Kohen. So much so, that even if you are sure that you have a spot, and that your spot is that of Tzaraas, until the Kohen comes on the scene and he says, you're a Metzoira, nothing happens. And because of that, we learned in our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yossi, if a person has a chashash that he might be metzoira, he shouldn't call the kohen. And if the kohen is called, he should say, I'm busy, I'm going to come back after Yom Tov, I don't have time now. Why? Because we don't want to shter that person's simchas Yom Tov, and until the kohen makes that pronouncement, nothing has transpired, nothing is effective. We learned about 10 lines from the bottom of the Gemara on Zayin Amud Beis. Lememra the Bekoyin Talia Milza. It would appear that it all depends on the Dibur, the pronouncement of the Koyin. How do you know? And the Gemara brought yesterday a Braisa with two Mandiyamars, two different sources. The Tanakhama, which was a Yehuda, said, it says in the Pasuk, Uviyoim Heirois Boy Basar Cha Yitma. What's Uviyoim? It could have said uveheirois boy, when the kohen will see it or when it will appear. Well, no, is he a metzora now? It's mushted ubiyoyim. So the Gemara darshed yesh yoyim she'ataroya, yesh yoyim she'iataroya. There's sometimes some days that the kohen will come and check it out, and he'll make his pronouncement, and there'll be other days that the kohen's going to say, "Sorry, I'm on vacation." Which are the vacation days? Anything that will shter, that will interfere with somebody's simcha. So for instance, if you have a chosin who just got married, and he suspects that he has tzaraas, the kohen will tell him, I'm coming back after Sheva Bruchas. I'm not going to tell you now, because chas v'shalom, I don't want to go and cause a rift between the new chosin and kala. And similarly on Chol HaMoed, if a person says, uh-oh, it looks like I'm a metzaira, the kohen says, come back after Yom Tov. That's from the first pasuk of Yom Haroyz Bay. And then Rebbe said, I have another pasuk. That pasuk is Legabi Tzaraas Batim, where it says in the pasuk, Tziva HaKoyin Ufinu Esabayis. The Koyin comes in, and he sees on the walls of the house, it appears to be Tzaraas. He doesn't say, okay, Rabbi Yisai, the house unfortunately has Tzaraas, but Rabbi says, you know what, let me think about it. Do me a favor, in the meantime, go and take out all the furniture, anything and everything that you can find in this house, aros, take it out. And Mirshim, I'll be back in 3 hours, or I'll be back tomorrow. He comes back the next day, or whenever he comes back, Baruch Hashem, the house is cleaned out, he looks at the wall and he says, Rabbi Yisai, this is the real McCoy, this is real Tzaraas. Now how could he do that? I mean, after all, shouldn't he have said immediately, Tzaraas? So you see, says the Gemara, B'koyin talya milza, and if the koyin makes the pronouncement, it's tameh, and if he doesn't, it's not tameh. And those are the two makoyrois, one from Uviyoyim, and the second one from the Tziva koyin Afinu Esamayis. So the last line on the Amud Beis, Rabbi Yehuda, Mehosam Legamrinan, says Rabbi Yehuda, you know why I don't like Rebbe's drasha from the second pasuk, because that pasuk is talking about Tzaraas Batim. And there's a groisa chidush, the chidushu, top of chesam and aleph. What's the chidushu? Under normal circumstances, if you have a piece of wood which is pshute clay eight means it does not have a receptacle, it's not a bowl, it's like a flat piece of wood. Here, the flat piece of wood we're talking about is part of the building, or for that matter, avonim are never mekabel tuma. Nevertheless, eitzim avonim ba'alma loy metamu v'halcha metamu, and hear the metamu. So you hear that, you see that the whole parsha of nige batim is unusual. It's a chidush, and therefore we cannot learn any halachas from that. And since Rebbe learns his halacha legabe that Bekoyin Talia Milza, and if the Koyin wants to hold off and issue his pronouncement days later or hours later. It's up to him. Maybe that's only by batim. I don't know that that's the case by bnei adam. So I can't learn from that pasuk. V'Rebbe Amar, and Rebbe says, I do learn from that pasuk, and I need both psukim. Why do I need both? It's because Rachman Uvi and Haroi Boy. If it would only have the first pasuk, have a minute var mitzvah in l'dvar rishus light, I would say that the only time that the kohen can postpone issuing his psak is only if it's dvar mitzvah, like we said by a chosim kala or by a person chol ha-moyed, because it's dvar mitzvah. But dvar rishus light, if it happens to be that the person who's potentially a metzora wants to push off the issuance of the psak for dvar rishus, let's assume, for instance, he has white spots. The kohen meets him after davening in the morning, after the daf, at 9 o'clock, and he says, "Oyoyoy, oyoyoy," and the person who is potentially the metzora gets the sense that the psak might not be favorable, and he says to the kohen, "Can you do me a favor? I have a big closing this morning at 10 o'clock. Would it be okay if you come by at 1 o'clock and issue your formal psak?" So, does the kohen have the right to postpone it or not? So based on Uviyoy Meroy's boy, I would think maybe only Dvar Mitzvah, but not for Dvar Rishus. Because Rachman Siva Kohen, Ufino Asabayas, take out all the furniture, and the furniture doesn't involve a Dvar Mitzvah, that's Stam Dvar Rishus, take out the chairs and the tables and everything else. That's why you have to have the second pasuk to go and tell you, not only for Dvar Mitzvah, but even for Dvar Rishus, the Kohen can go and push off his issuance of a psak of his pronouncement. So yeah, says Rabbi, because Rachman v'yem haroi's boy have a minute after dvar mitzvah in the dvar shus loy, because Rachman v'tzivak koyin, because Rachman v'tzivak koyin alone have a minute hani in the lav tumah degufei. Maybe only by tumas batin, because that's not so chomor. It doesn't involve tumah degufei. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda was saying on the Amud Beis, that you cannot go and learn simply from the Tziva Koyim, because that's talking about Batim. Chidishu, Eitzim Ravonim Anat Metam, and here the Armatam. But Tumas Guvei is so much more Chomor. I would have thought, Hani in, by Tumas Batim, yeah, push off your Psak. I would think that the kohen is forced to go and look at it at the first moment and to issue his psak as soon as possible. So you have to have both psukim to tell you, number one, not only Tvar Mitzvah, but also Tvar Rishus, and number two, not only by Batim, but even by Tzaraas Haguf. We're going back again to the drasha of Rabbi Yehuda, uviyoyim, yesh yoyim shataroyimoy, yesh yoyim shiataroyimoy. Some days you see, in other words, of the 365 days a year, you have to deduct certain special days. Special days number one is all Chol HaMoed days, and special days number two is all Chusin Kala days. Those you got to subtract from your normal yoyim shataroyim. My mashma, where do you see that in the word uviyoyim? Hey, Roy's boy, Levi Shteitz. Am Rabaya, im kein lichto rachmana, biyoyim, my uvayoyim. Ah, there's an extra vav. It could have said, biyoyim, hey, Roy's boy, basur chayitma. Why did it say, uvayoyim with an extra vav? Shema mina, that vav comes to tell you. Yesh yoyim shiatar roi, boy. Yesh yoyim shiatar boy. Some yo, some nisht. The first, that vav is a special extra vav that a Kodesh Baruch Hu placed in the psak, in the posse to tell you some days. Yes. Some days not. Rava says, I don't learn from the extra vav, but kula kroyaseiruhu. Literally, the words kula kroyaseiruhu means the whole posik is extra. That's really not the case. Rashi says he means that the entire word uveyoim is extra. The imkein lichtu rachmana uveheirois. It doesn't have to say uveyoim heirois boy. It could have said uveheirois boy basur chayitma. The whole word uvayoyim my uvayoyim. Ah, shvamino yeshim shi'at royaboy. Yeshim shi'at royaboy. If you think I'm trying to pull a fast one, you look at the Rashi at about 12, 13 lines from the top. Kula kro yisera. We don't mean the whole pasuk. Kloim kula teva dibiyoyim heirois kro yisera. That word uvayoyim is unnecessary. It could just simply say Uveheroith. That pasuk is coming to tell you that one of the three simonim that tells you whether or not this is just a spot or whether this is in fact tzaras, one of them is if you have basar chai, a new rejuvenation of flesh in the middle of the spot. Uveyoim heroith boy, basar chai yitma. So the veyoim lechoir is unnecessary. He could have said uveyroith boy, if you see such a spot, then yitma. What's it? Uveyoim heroith? The whole uveyoim is superfluous to tell us the din. Some days yes, and some days nish. Pray to more about fire. The Bayi Lechoyre Rove has a good point. No. Says the Bayi, only the Vav is extra. The word Beyoim, I need to tell you that a Koyin should only examine the spot during the day when there's nice light, and not if he has to do it at night with a flashlight or with an electric light. No. It's got to be Beyoim so that the Koyin sees it clearly, and then he has to make his declaration. No, so I need Beyoim. So Robert, don't be the whole Uveyoim is Ibrik. Not I need Uveyoim. So I only have the Vav, which is extra. V'rav Uveyoim v'layla minolei. How does Taka Rav know this din of Yoim? Nafgalei milachoil marei eini hakoyim. The pasuk says that the Kohen is the one that has to decide, and he should look at the spot, and whatever he decides, based on his kol mara, looking at it from all sides, from top to bottom, and examining, inspecting, kol mara eini hakoyim. Oh, so from that I see, what does that mean, lechol mara eini hakoyim? It means that it's light, and since it's light, he's able to see it from all angles, from all sides. He sees clearly, as opposed to at night, he can't see the ganze mara. He sees it, looks like it. But really, to tell a real mara, you have to go and see during the day. Says Abaya, I need the chomari in a coin. Not to tell you the din of b'yoin v'loy b'layla. I needed to go and tell you the din of sum v'achas me'enev. What happens if you have a coin who unfortunately is blind in one eye? With one eye he sees beautifully, but unfortunately the other eye he does not. So it's not l'chol mari eni akoyin. L'chol sounds like you got to have both vision from both eyes. That's what I use it for. And so therefore, Rav, I disagree with you. You cannot use l'chol mari eni akoyin to say b'yoyin v'loy v'layla. I need it for summa. For Rav nami b'boy l'lohachi. Rav isn't a baya correct. You're right. He also needs it to exclude summa b'achas me'ena. Then at the end of the way, let me know, how does he know that the coin can only look at during the day and not at night? Remember, because Rav says uviyoyim is totally superfluous. Not superfluous. I need to tell you b'yoyim v'loy v'layla. Says him, nafkalei from another pasuk. Mikenega nira li b'boyis. So what does it have to say? Nira li. It could have said kenega nira b'boyis. That extra li comes to tell you li v'loy l'oyri. It's got to be that it's nearer, that I can see it, li, with my own capacity, with my own capabilities, with my own structure, in terms of my senses, v'loy l'oyri, and I don't need any artificial assistant. So it's got to be that I see it with my own eyes, as opposed to having to use a candle, or a flashlight, or
glasses.
I don't think it's a good question. We'd have to check it out. But the point is that I don't need to come on to anything artificial in the form of oiri. So if that's how I know the din, then it's got to be b'yoy b'layla, because b'layla, it's impossible to see it just based on my own vision, my own eyes. I need some assistance. I have to have an art. So therefore, from that pasuk, I know b'yoy b'layla b'layla. Rava is right. I can learn the day of Biyoyim v'loy b'layla from this kinega near Libaboyis. So the Bayi Imi Hosam, we learn from that pasuk, Haminani Mili Tuma the Lab the Gufay. After all, Tuma kinega near Libaboyis. Nige Batim. There, it has to be that you see it with your own eye, or eyes. But Tuma the Gufay, Afilu Oyinami. Tumah de gufe is more chomer. The person has to be nishtaleh chutz l'sholish machnois. That's pretty heavy duty stuff, and there's no way of fixing it until the tzaras leaves. When you're talking about the batim, worst comes to worst, you demolish the house and you start fresh. But by the person, you can't demolish the person. He might be stuck as a material for chas v'shalom for 25 years, like we had yesterday. Uziyo HaMelech was a material for 25 years. So it's much more chamor. So I would think that even if the kohen cannot see it with his own eyes, he needs oir. But with the oir, he's able to see. Yeah. Unfortunately, you got a spot, and unfortunately, it's spreading, and unfortunately, it has the white hairs and the whole gesheft. So I would think that maybe li va'afilu li oili. That's why I have to have a special pausing to go and tell you. I cannot learn it simply from Kineganir Li leave alone, because maybe leave alone the Oiri. It's a great Rasha, but maybe only the Gabe Tumas Batim and not necessarily the Gabe Tumas Al Taguf. Tumas. Very good. So with this we've concluded now the fairly lengthy discussion about the Koyin making the decisions about Tsaras. And the good news is that, Baruch Hashem, we've gotten through that sugya, challenging sugya, and we start on something new. It's not a very happy sugya, although the Torah, mesameach, every word that we learn in the Torah, mesamcheleiv, but the topic is not one of the happiest topics, as we'll see. Zok the Mishnah, the Oid Omer of Meir, again we're talking about Chol HaMoyed, Malakit Odom Atzlis Ogev V'imoy Mepnesha Simcha Hiloy, V'yosi Oimer, Ovel Hulai. We have Nebuch Rachmon Litzlan, a person who lost a very close family member. Rashi says, or the Mishnah already says, Atzmis of the Imai, his father, his mother. And for some reason, at the time that the person passed away, he was buried in a plot, but he was not buried in the family plot. And therefore the Yorishim are upset. After all, there's a family plot that's gathered all over from here to there, in a special cemetery, and this family plot they bought quite a few years ago with 25 different makoimais, and they were expecting that father and mother would go and be buried there, and now they want to be ma'avir atzamas. In English they call it disinterment, to disinter from one place and move to another place. This is a complicated halacha. You can't just simply say, okay, we're going to move over the atzamas. It has to be done under the guidance of competent authorities. That's what we're going to get to in a moment. What's the thing called a mite? Now, this whole Indian of disinterment sounds kind of strange. What's then? There was a story about 2 years ago. There was a very famous Moyel who lived in Brooklyn. His name was Rami Cohen Zichron Levracha. Passed away in his late 80s or early 90s. And he was a Moyel and he performed literally thousands, perhaps as many as 20 or 25,000 brisim during his life. And he was an expert not only in regular brismilas, but he was an expert in adult brismilas. And therefore, when the Russians started coming en masse from Russia to America, he performed hundreds, if not thousands, of brisim on people that are already adults. And other moyelim that also performed the brisim, 99% were his talmidim. They would know, and then they would know how to do it themselves. Anyways, he was a very... he was also very, very choshuva and erlich, a very choshuva person. About 40 years before his passing, he bought mekoymis for himself and for his wife on Har HaZeisim in Yerushalayim. And he told this at the time to a Grace Rebbe known as the Zvila Rebbe. The Zvila Rebbe was known as the Baal Moifis, and everybody knew he was a Grace Otum Gogol. And when he told this to the Rebbe said to him, okay, who knows whether you're going to be able to use these mekoymis and harizesim? You know, you're here in America. Who knows whether you're going to be able to? You bought them, fine. So he looks at him. What do you mean? El Al has 3 daily flights, and you can get on Delta and United and this one and that one. What's the problem? You know, chasum, a password. So the whole thing sounded kind of mysterious. So the Rebbe said, anyway, vayir hayoyim, he never passed away. He was one of the early victims of COVID. And Israel closed its airports to everyone and anyone. No exceptions, no ishurim. He had to be buried here. And then about after a month or 2 months later, then they did the disinterment and they moved him to Har HaZeisim. And the Rebbe was right. Who knows whether you'll be able to go and be buried in those plots that you bought. Anyway, so this is the Indian of disinterring a body from one place to another. Can you do this on Chol HaMoed? Remeyu says, yes, you can. You know why? Now, what type of simcha is it? Now, we're going to learn the Rashi, which is the Havamina. The Maskona, that's not the reason. But Rashi says it, so we'll learn the Rashi. If you look, Rashi, Masnisen, about halfway down. Malakir Adamatis over the Imoy, Umay Lichon, the Mokim Achel, the Kivron, the Kivrois Avoisam, to go and transfer them to another place, to rebury them, the Kivrois Avoisam, in the family plot. Throughout the year he's been so upset that this father, mother has been buried somewhere else, and it's hard to get there, and it's not together with Mishpoche, and now that we'll be able to re-enter and bury in the family plot, so therefore, mutalach on Cholamayim. Rabbi Yossi says, quite to the contrary, do not do it on Chol HaMoed, because it's avelus. In fact, if it were not Chol HaMoed, the halacha is one has to go and
sit
Shiva for a day. The word Shiva, of course, is not really appropriate, because Shiva really means 7 days, that's the word Shiva. But it means that he has to go and act like a full-fledged mourner for the day of disinterment. You don't do that on Chol HaMoed, because even if Chas HaShom is a fresh mace, you don't sit Shiva on Chol HaMoed. It's postponed until after Yom Tov. But the point over here is that Rabbi Yossi says, since on the normal circumstances it's a Yom Avelus, what are you telling me doing on Chol HaMoed? Wait until after Yom Tov. Don't do it. Chol HaMoed, it's not a Simcha, it's Avelus. We're going to get back to that in a moment. We conclude the Mishnah with Lo Ya'ir Odom Al Meisoi V'Li Aspidenu Kodem L'Regel Shloshim Yom. For a period of 30 days prior to Yom Tov, don't go and be ma'oirer, and don't be maspid. The second half is easy. Meaning, as Rashi explains, what happens if a family member passed away, the marshal, a month, 2 months ago, or whenever, and now let's say the Yom HaShloishim, or just in general, when it's a convenient day, you want to go make a public hesped, and the public hesped is going to be on April 1st, and that April 1st turns out to be within 30 days of Chag HaPesach. Right before Yom Tov, or you can have the same thing before Shavuos or before Sukkot. Says our Mishnah, don't make a public hesped within the 30-day period prior to Yom Tov.
This includes Levaya?
We're talking about a hesped, not the Levaya. The person passed away, he passed away, he can't say
a hesped at the Levaya.
Whether or not there were hespedim at the Levaya is now a period of time where the family would like to make a new separate hesped, maybe at the end of Shiva.
Separate
hesped. Could be that at the Levaya there were no hespedim at all. As you know, there are many that have the custom not to make
hespedim. This halacha doesn't apply to the Levaya, the hespedim at the Levaya.
We're not talking about Levaya. So we're now talking about within 30 days of the regel, of a Yom Tov, don't schedule a hesped. What is this Lo Ya'orer Odom? This Lo Ya'orer Odom is very interesting. Rashi says that you could hire an individual who typically was a maspid, in other words, they were professional eulogizers, if that is the term, and this person is not holding a hesped, because we just said you're not allowed to hold a hesped. But what he would do, he would go and call out, he'd be like a town crier, and he would call together all the friends and all the relatives, and he would say, Rabbi, what a terrible loss. Do you realize what it means? Yankel Smith is no longer with us. Bechu imi kol morei nofesh. All of you that are sharing in our pain, in our anguish, come together and let's cry out our hearts because of this terrible loss. See Rashi in the middle of the Omed lo ya'ar odom al meisai. In meis le meis, chodesh od chodshai in kodemoid. What happens if, for instance, Chas HaShalom, someone's relative passed away a month or two before Yom Tov. Lo Ya'arer. What means Lo Ya'arer? Says Rashi. Mefarsh B'Gemara. Kad Hodar Sabdana B'Marova. What does that mean? Kloimar. Shlo Yiskor Sabdan. Don't hire a professional Bal Maspid. Lasser Al Kroivav. Who's not going to hold the Hespid. Because that's the next part of the Mishnah. Liaspidenu. But rather, what is he going to do? He's going to be last out prayer. He's going to go knock on the doors of all of the family and friends. Loimayim is going to say, Rabbi say, B'chu imi, or maybe even B'chu ami, come together, let's go and cry together, Kol Mori Nofesh, all of those of us that are embittered and never feel the pain and the anguish of the family that we've lost such a chosh of a person. And then the Lo Yaspidenu says Rashi, that's the normal. Shemais lemais p'tesh lo shem yom b'fnei regel. Lo yiskor sabtan l'haspidoi. Don't go and hire a sabtan to hold the hasped. Shlo shem yom atrevayu. Kodesh lo shem yom goes on both the Lo Ya'ir Odom and the Lo Yaspidenu. What's the reason why? So the one mefarish b'gemar. We're going to see a machloikis at the bottom of the omit. Anyway, so this is not a Chol HaMoed halacha. This is a 30-day pre-yontif halacha. We're going to talk about that on the bottom. Zog Gemara, Now we talk about, once again, the din of likut atzamais, the disinterring of a body and the reburial. The Tanakhama said Rameya, it's a simcha, you're allowed to do it. Rabbi Yossi says, it's an avelis, you're not allowed to do it. But Rabbeinu, let me ask you a question. We learned in the Braisa, ha-melakit atzamais of the imoi. A person who went and did this likut atzamais, this disinterment, that whole day he has to be ba'avelus, as if he is sitting Shiva. But it's only a one day thing, it's not a 7 day thing, so night time, it's all over. What does that mean? Explains Rashi, even if the koroiv, the ovel who's sitting avelus, that one day avelus, even if he is not personally involved, there's, for instance, a Chevra Kadisha that's involved in the disinterment and in the reburial, so he is not involved. And even if he doesn't see the body, because the body is nicely covered, Tzurur Misadinoi, or today we would say in a coffin, and so therefore he doesn't see, nevertheless, it happens to be an Avelis for him. Even if he never sees the body, he doesn't get involved. He just hired the Chevra Kadisha to take care of it. He's Mis'abel Aleim Kol Hayom. Now this halacha, we're not talking about Chol Hamoed. We're talking in general throughout the year. So since this is halacha throughout the year, it certainly sounds like that this is a moment of pain, of avelus, of mourning. How could the mayor possibly say in the beginning of our Mishnah, that it's a simcha he likes? It's not simcha, it's an avelus. Now the truth of the matter is, we could have theoretically said that this brisa that we just brought goes in accordance with Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi is the one that says that it's avelus. Yeah, Tanya Namahochi, I'll bring you a rye. That's what Rabbi Yossi holds. That throughout, oh yeah, it doesn't mention Rabbi Yossi's name in the brisa, admittedly, but nevertheless, this that it's avelus is not really such a strong kasha. Rameya says, Rabbi Yossi disagrees with me, and I disagree with the brisa too. You could say that. So the bottom Tosis talks about that. You see the second Tosis before the bottom. Reminu hamalakit b'mseches mochais b'perik yudeis v'haba motzi lishnuye hamani Rabbi Yossi the omer b'mishnah ovel huvai. We could have theoretically answered that. However, the Gemara probably didn't want to answer that because we don't want to end off with a machloikis, as well as, you know, this is not a tiny machloikis where they're talking about a kazayis or a kabeya. We're talking about, is it a simcha, is it a velus? You know, it's a very hard thing to call what would appear to be an event of mourning that everybody agrees throughout the year you have to sit in mourning for a day, and to say, well, but Chol Moed, it's a simcha. That sounds very strange. So Omar Abaya, Eima, brand new pshat, Misha Simchas Haregil Olof. So remember, in the Rashi in the Mishnah said that the reason why you're allowed to do it in Chol Hamoed is because the family is happy that the father or mother has been reunited with the rest of the family in the family plot. However, the Gemara doesn't hold like that Lamaskana, but rather Simchas Haregil Olof. What does that mean? The person is so imbued and so immersed in the Simchas HaRegel that supersedes, that trumps, that overrides the Avelis that he has as a result of the Kvura of the parrot. If you look at the Rashi, Mepnesha Simchas HaRegel Olav, it's parallel to the Gemara that we're holding. Kalaimar, Harbi Hu Oisik B'Simchas HaRegel, the person is imbued with the Simcha of the Regel, so therefore he doesn't even feel that pain and that anguish. So therefore what the mayor is saying is not that, yo, it's a great Indian, let's do it in Chol Hamoed because he's going to have a simcha and everybody's going to be happy and the parents are going to be in the family plot. No. What the mayor is saying is that even though there is anguish, but that anguish will be superseded by the overriding simchas hayontif, the whole aura of yontif and Chol Hamoed, and so therefore he's really not going to feel the pain, and therefore it's permissible. While Rabbi Yossi is saying, no, nevertheless, even if you tell me he's not going to feel it, but still, halachically, this is an inyan of avelus, and therefore, don't do it on Chol Hamoed. And now we continue on the Mishnah Le'ar al Meisai. Now, what the Gemara is going to tell us is, word for word, what we saw in the Rashi. What is this? Ar Mai Le'ar al Meisai. What does that mean? Omera. Kad Hoda Sabdana Bimarova. When the Maspid, who we have paid, says Rashi, when he goes around in Marov and Eretz Yisrael. Amri, he would go and make a statement. Maybe he'd go, like today, when Chas Hashom, there's a Levi in Yerushalayim, you often have a professional car that goes around announcing on a microphone, the Levayev and Yankel Smith, it's on, acht fifzen banacht, and this, and Shamgar, or here, or there, whatever. So here too you have such a professional Balmasmid that goes around, and he says, Yivkun ime kol merire liba, all those that feel the anguish and the pain of this family, we should all go and cry together because of the terrible Aveda that we have now incurred, unfortunately, because Yanko Smith has passed away.
Why is in both Rashi and the Mishnah, and how in the Gemara we drop the word Adam? The Mishnah has the word Liyar Adam Ameso.
Yeah.
And both the Gemara drops that word, and also in the Mishnah, Rashi, when he's quoting the Mishnah, mm-hmm. drops that word. Does it have any significance?
Not to my knowledge. Okay. I think it's a printing mistake.
Okay.
So if you want to write it, thank you, my Shloshim. Where does this Shloshim Yom come from? Was it 30 days? Make it a week, make it 6 months. Was this 30 days? So the Gemara tells us now a startling, amazing story. Not that the story itself is so amazing. To me, it's amazing that Chazal were misaken in a Mishnah for the broad masses don't do this within 30 days because of a Masa Shoya. What was a Masa Shoya? Omer Kana, Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav. After all, if you want to be oil regel, you got to put some money away. You have to go and put away for the flight and for the food and for this and for that and the other thing. Whether or not you're going to have to go and pay any hotel bills, that will be dependent on the machloikis of whether Yishalayim was nischalka lishvatim. Because we had, according to Mani Yomad, Yishalayim was nischalka lishvatim, ein maskir and batim Yishalayim. You can't go and charge rent. However, make sure you go and leave over as a tip your oiros, as well as the kulfa, as the 5 cent deposit bottles, right? So that you got to leave, but you don't have to pay the big bills. But regardless, but certainly it's going to cost you money to go and hire a camel all the way from France to go all the way to Eretz Yisrael, or to get a flight, a ticket on El Al. It's going to cost you money. And as you know, if you've ever gone to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov, they jack up the price 2 or 3 times when it comes Yom Tov. But that's a separate issue. So the person, Baruch Hashem, put away a lot of money to be Oyle Regel, together with his family. Ubasabtan, the Oman al Pesach Beisai, and a Sabtan came by looking for Parnassah. He knocked on the door and he said, didn't one of your close family members pass away recently? Yo, Grada, we just got up from Shiva a week ago. Hazoi! You know, I think it would be a wonderful idea for all of us to get together and really pour out our hearts and cry Nebuch on this terrible Aveda. And the wife said, you know what, that would be such a fitting thing to do. I still haven't gotten over the emotional trauma. But not with an ishtoi, she went into the bedroom, opened up the drawer where the husband had been putting away money now for the last 6 months to be oiler regel. She took that money, and she gave it to the sabtan, and he went around, or he held the hesped, depending on the way you are, or the hespedenu. And guess what happens? The husband comes home, and now he's really in pain, because I don't have any money left to be oiler regel. The nimna, v'lo ola. And in fact, he said, "Chanishka geld, and I'm not going off to be oiler regel." But he says, "Sure, Amru." As a result of that story, the Chacham said, "You know what? This may occur, not necessarily with ir or alames. Could be in other types of circumstances that people put away money and then it's used at the last moment for something or other." And therefore, they said, "Like oiler alames, we ask then to cut the regel 30 days." No,
could have been his mother-in-law. Compounded the problem.
It could be. I in the Chuvis, Brother Shai, and see what it says. Anyway, so that's what Rav says. I mean, what would happen if somebody came by and knocked on the door and said, I have an investment for you. This stock is going to go from penny stock, it's going to make $1 million within 60 days. You know that something is criminal. But the point is, and what happens if the wife would say, oh, that's a great idea, here's the money, we'll get such a wonderful investment. And then the husband comes home and is brokenhearted, oh, I have no money to go to Oyle Regel. Would the Chachamim then say, Loy, a person should not go and invest in a penny stock for 30 days before the Regel? So that's why, to me, it's a little bit
Why would they keep this Xavier even as long as a...
I don't know if it does apply this manner.
I'm just going from the Ein Mishpat.
The Ein Mishpat only tells you that's where it appears, Theoretically, yeah, I hear you loud and clear. Theoretically, if you looked up the Rambam or Shulchan Aruch, it could be that the Mechaber brings this, and the Rama says they ain't on a noyagin ken. You know, you'd have to look it up just based on the Gimel and the Dalit. It's kind of hard to see
that's
what
really, the next week's Shmuel's reason.
Oh, so let's go to Shmuel's reason. Great money. So until now we had Rav's reason. Now we go to Shmuel. Shmuel Omar, the reason is Lefi she'ein ames mishtakech min alei shloishim yoyim. You still feel the pain and the anguish for the first 30 days. So look at the top Rashi. Kloimat, kimin de meis in mishtakech min alei shloishim yoyim im maspidoi pochas mishloishim yoyim lefnei haregel osi lemisbed beregel da'adayin loy shokchoi. You know what might happen if you're going to schedule a hesped a week before the yontif, because you still feel the pain, it's within 30 days, the people might say, you know, those hespedim were great, but we could use another couple of hespedim. So, you know, they might schedule something for Chol HaMoed. And therefore, because of that, the Chum said, you know, for 30 days before, no hespedim, we don't want people to get any ideas, we don't want to, chas v'sholom, ruin the beauty and the simcha of the regel with hespedim before, during, so 30-day rule. So if you want my benai l'choyra, both rules or both reasons work. What's the nafki min al halacha? Because we said in the Amud Aleph, like the Rashi explained and like the Gemara explained, the whole reason why we got into this problem was because when the Sabta knocked on the door and he says, I think we should make a hesped, then if the wife would have said, that's great, but you know, we don't have money because all the money we set aside for Alila, no problem. I'm going to make a hesped for free. I loved your Uncle Smith. I'm happy to go and give a hesped for free. So then there would be no reason to misaken the takana of the 30 days. The only reason for the takana is because the Sabtan says, I want to get paid in cash in advance. I want to get paid my money. Oh, so says the more nafkamina, if you have a masjid that's willing to go and give a eulogy without receiving payment, then the first reason would fall away. If he's not taking payment, he's not going to take away that accumulated money for the trip to be Oilaregim. But out the second reason, he's still unfortunately being Maorer people's hearts and pulling on their heartstrings because of the terrible loss that they've incurred. According to the first reason, it would be permissible. According to the reason of Shmuel, it would not be permissible. Zog the Mishnah weiter. Ein chuyfen kuchen u kvorois bemoyed al machanchen es a kuchen bemoyed. What does that mean? As you will recall, in the good old days, they didn't have, or maybe they did have, but in addition to, meaning, all of our niftorim today, we bury in the ground. In the good old days, many of the mason were buried in what they call in English catacombs. Catacombs means that within a cave, they carved out openings, like large cubby holes, if you will, large enough for a mess, and then they would, chas v'shalom, when a person passed away, they would go and put the mess into that hole in the wall. And in one large cave, sometimes you had 10, 20, or more kvarim, depending, of course, on how wide the cave was and how deep you can go and bury the body. Anyway, if you decided to go... Yes, Shavi.
They did them in the United States, in Harlem, in the 1900s, early 1900s. My grandfather had a house in Harlem, and I said, Grandpa, what's way down there, 2 floors below the first floor? He says, that's the catacombs from the convent that was here.
Really? Wow.
So it's not so ancient.
Not so ancient. Okay. Well, thank you for bringing that to our decision, to our attention. A person who decides where he's going to bury a mess, whether it's going to be in the conventional, normal way, or whether he's going to bury it 2 floors down below, all of these are very grave decisions that need to be made at the time. This is not
that's
a laughing matter.
They called it a cave error.
A cave there. Oh, beautiful.
There's an archaeological park in Eretz Yisrael, Beit She'orim, where I think Rebbe's buried.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's still there, but it's open. You can go and you can see these kuchen are in the walls.
Exactly. And I remember being there many, many years ago as a kid when we were doing one of these tours. And the tour guide pointed to all of the kuchen, to all of these holds in the cave. Unfortunately, they were all empty.
Yeah.
And he told us at the time that there were ganovim, or kids, that came there the first time years before, The Ganovim went and stole because they were hoping to go and find jewelry on the bodies. And the kids did it because they thought that that was something to amuse themselves. And so therefore it became like an amusement park. And that's why the Kuchen are empty today. But you're right. So now, we're not talking about Chas v'Shalom, a person just passed away. We're talking about making these Kuchen and Kvaris ahead of time, so that if and when Chas v'Shalom, someone passes away, they will have ready, willing and able Kuchen, that they're there. You can bury immediately, you don't have to wait for the undertakers or for the grave diggers to dig out the grave. What's the difference between Kuchen and Kvaris? Mitzvah will address that in the Gemara, but both, basically they're both the same. We're talking about catacombs. So, don't do that on Chol HaMoed. Since we're not talking about an immediate mess, we're talking about something in the future. Okay, so before Yontif, after Yontif, some other time, go in and dig these out. Don't do it in Chol HaMoed. But you are going to be mechanech as a kuchen b'moed. What means mechanech? We'll see mechem in the Gemara. It means to make adjustments in terms of widening it or narrowing it or lengthening it. Mechem we'll see in the Gemara. That you'll have to do.
That's a mishkan, right?
But that normal mechanach means to dedicate something, to inaugurate something. But here we're talking about not inauguration or dedication, we're really talking about
preparation,
finishing off the fine details type of thing. That you're allowed to do b'moyed and cholamoyed, because that's not a tirchi yaseir. The chfira, that's a big, big job. You're just going and adding and subtracting a little bit, just nishka groysizach. What is nevreches b'moyed? Nevreches, says Rashi, means a mokum kvisa, where you do laundry. In other words, you make like a large hole in the ground for purposes of putting in water and your detergent and doing laundry. That's his Rashi. V'les beitircha kulehayin. It doesn't have to be a professional laundromat. Just any hole in the ground that you make to go and put in the laundry and to wash it. So that you're allowed to do in Chol HaMoed. Even though you're not going to do any laundry during Chol HaMoed, some of the Mepharshim say, well, if you're not going to do laundry Chol HaMoed anyway, why are you doing it? And they say that it could be that it's related to the next piece of the Mishnah, or to the general spirit of our Mishnah, that we're talking about Rachman Leslan, a person who's a mess, and you have shrouds, and the shrouds, for instance, are dirty, so you have to wash them out, so you can go and make such a laundry place for the shrouds for that purpose. And okay, the orin in a mess b'chotzer. Orin means if you have to go and construct the orin, the coffin, you're allowed to do that as long as you do it in close proximity to the mess himself or itself. Because if you do it further away, people say, "Hey, this guy's working hard labor on Yontif. He's apparently in the business of making boards and making coffins and making boxes." They don't know necessarily that it's for a mess. They say, "Make a large box, whatever." And what is he doing then on Chol HaMoed? However, if it's in close proximity with a mess inside the same chotzer, so anybody that is being over a Maris Ayin, you remember Ariel was a little upset about the Maris Ayin aspect yesterday. So if he comes to the chotzer and he says, "Hey, what are you doing over here? You're building and constructing, it's Chol HaMoed." "Oh, there's a mess. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm so Baruch Tainemis. I really apologize. If I would have known, I wouldn't have said anything." So therefore, that takes care of that issue. Rabbi Yehuda Oyser Elam Kein Yesh Imoy Nasar. Rabbi Yehuda is arguing to a degree with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama says, if Chas v'Shalom, a mess passed away, you're allowed to start from scratch. Meaning, you need a coffin, chop down a tree, or maybe not, maybe that's a little bit too remote. Exactly. Maybe that's a little too remote, but once I have the raw tree, raw wood, and I have to make lumber, obviously you can't go and put four trees together and make a coffin, you have to go and make it into Nasarim on board. That the Tanakhama says is permissible to do on Chol HaMoed. Says Yehuda, no, you can put together a coffin as long as you have the pre-existing board. If all you have to do is take four, six boards together, one will be on the bottom, four around on the top, one will be a cover, and you knock in a bunch of nails, or you put in some cement or some glue or something, that's okay. But to go and manufacture the boards, that's already
just assembly required.
Yeah, just assembly. Oh, it's like you buy a Lego toy kit for children, you just have to put it together.
Is the lechachilo then, or even like, because of kavan meis, if there is no other boards in such a situation?
It's a good question that you're asking. Lechayra, if we're talking about Rachman
Lechayra, is a darabana din, should push away.
I hear you loud and clear. So what we're our Choshev Agas is asking us, if you the Asers, if you're talking about Chas Hashem, you have a mess, and you need to go and construct a coffin because you don't even have the board. Well, Rabbi Yehuda say, well, I'm sorry, just leave the mess there until after Yom Tov, let it go and Chas Hashem, go and deteriorate for the next 6-7 days. That doesn't sound right. So you have the long toises over here, the Ein Chofer Kuchen Ukvaris Moed, who deals with these types of issues, and oh, a little bit past halfway down, Tois is asking Akasha from another Mishnah we learned Makim Masechtas Beyev, that you're even allowed to go and manufacture the Tachrichim themselves, the Glima and other things that you need for the mess, and here it says you can't go and make the Nasorim. So Tois says V'hadle Shori Hocha, I'm looking down halfway down the Toises. Hadli Shori Hachal Rabbi Yehuda Ella Minasorim Haminusorim Me'erev Yontiv. Here Rabbi Yehuda is very direct. He said, no, it's got to be pre-existing cut board. V'hasim Shorla Megazle Glima V'asa. And there it says you're allowed to go and cut out shroud, and asa means hadasim. Shemun Nasorim Yecholim Nimtoi Minusorim Harbe. It could be that there is a ready market out there. You go to the lumber yard and you go buy 2x4s and 4x6s and you have boards all over. So it's not a concern. Av Glima V'asa Lo Yimtos. And that's not so easy because after all, it's not one size fits all when it comes to shrouds. Shemun Asiris Nasorim Yesh Koilu Pirsim Godel. Maybe the reason why Rabbi Yehuda is asking, because when you are putting together Nasarim, you have to use your electric saw, and you have to go and use your hammer, and you have to chop, and you have to cut, and that makes a large commotion. Maybe that stirs the Simcha of Yontif. So from Toises' mashma, certainly according to the first pshat, it's not going to be an issue. There are always boards available here, there, everywhere. It might cost a little bit more money or whatever, but don't go and cut the boards on Chol HaMoed, because of the fact that it's a real tirchi yaseira, rather go and get finished, prepared boards. Now, if you're asking a theoretical question, what happens if there are no boards anywhere? That's a good question. Maybe they'll paskin, just bury the mess without a coffin. Maybe after Yom Tov, you put them into a coffin. Doesn't say. But that's if you look at the Rashi right at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Oyser, L'havi Eitzim, V'lasoysim Nasorim, L'tzorech Aroyim. You can't just bring raw wood and start making boards. Elam kenayim minusarim, but chila kon yom. Unless you have fed to your boards from before Yom Tov, but you can't start making boards now. Says the Gemara, we started off, you know that I make kuchen ukvaris. My kuchen and my kvaris, Om Rav Yehuda, kuchen are b'chafira, ukvaris are bebinyan. Kuchen b'chafira, says Rashi, Rashi doesn't say anything, b'chafira means it's underground caves in which you put in your kuchen. We just heard authoritatively from our very, very dear friend Shelley that even in Harlem you can find them at a Yom Hazeh if you go underground to go and find them in these underground catacombs. That's kuchen. While kvaris bebinyan means something which is above ground, and you make these types of catacombs. So when you read this Gemara, you automatically say, oh, so you're allowed to go and bury bodies in a mausoleum. Is that true? And Roif Poiskim, if not all, hold no, that is prohibited. Because when we're talking about kvaris bebinyan, we don't mean in a nice, beautiful apartment building where the apartments are nebuch for the dead, that you have compartments instead of apartments and you insert the body, or rather we're talking about a natural cave, but the cave is not underground like in Harlem for the convent, but rather it's up above ground, and in that cave they went and dug out the catacombs. Why is that so important that it has to be dafka cave? Because it says v'chiper ad mosoi amoi, that part of the kapora is if the body lays in adoma, meaning in earth, and not in some fancy refrigerated
mausoleum.
Exactly. Anyway, says
the Gemara today in Harmonuchus, I don't know if you've seen, they make these above ground.
Below ground.
Above. They have it above ground, these edifices where they.
Well, Rabbi said, don't argue about it.
Okay.
But yes, what's up, Yishali?
It's a grave issue.
You want an aliyah for the neshama.
Oh, that's
a goof.
Oh, very good. You wanted the aliyah for the neshama. Shelly, it's great. Anyway, so let's get back to our Gemara. Om Rav Yehuda Kuchen B'Chafir Kvar B'Bin. Tanya Mehoche, right from Abraisa, Elen Kuchen Elen Kvar. What's the difference? Kuchen are Chafir Kvar are B'Bin. So Gemara Vayter, Av Mechanchen is a Kuchen. You're allowed to be Mechanchen Kuchen. Keitz Mechanchen, what does that mean? Om Rav Yehuda Shem Hoya Oruch Mekatsroi. What happens if you expect Chas Shalom to have to use one of these kuchen shortly for someone who is about to pass away, and that person is a short individual, he's only 5'2", and the kuchen is 6 foot long, so you don't need that much space for this particular kuch. So mechatchen means you can go and be mekatzer, you can go and shorten it. But Masisa Tana, the Braisa says just the opposite. You can have a situation where the mess is longer than the pre-arranged kuchen, marech bay, that if necessary you extend it and you lengthen it, or marech bay, and you can go and widen it for a person that is a little bit stouter than you had originally expected. So the word mechatchem just means to make adjustments, make both in small and in big, because there's no one size fits all, so sometimes you have to lengthen it, sometimes you have to make it shorter. But always in nevrachas, my nevrachas, what's the definition of nevrachas? We already said in the Rashi said in the Mishnah, that's referring to a pool that you're using for laundering. I'm reviewing the zoo bekia. The word nevrachas does mean bekia. Pray to more of a time, but have a braisa, ha nevrachas, ha bekia. So it sounds like nevrachas is not a bekia, because otherwise I would repeat it twice. Zog to Yomara, functionally, they're both basically the same. Rabbi, the same Rav Kahana, giha ubar giha. What does that mean? Rashi says the giha means the principal place, the principal pool in which you launder the clothes. However, if you have a lot of clothes and you have a lot of water, there's going to be some spillover, overflow, and that overflow is going to fill into the bar giha, that smaller pool. Ah, so therefore, both giha and bargia, and both nevrachas and bakia mean the same thing. We're talking about pools that are being used for laundering. The nevrachas is typically, says Rashi, a brecha gedoyla, that's a larger enclosure, and next to it you would have that bargia or the bakia, which is a brecha ktana, a small one, and that's for the spillover, for the overflow from the regular nevrachas. V'orin emameis v'chotzen. Tanila had a tanner bonan, but we have a right to what we learned in the Braisa. Oisin kol tzorche emes. You're allowed to go and do all the tzorche emes on cholamoid. Koizin le sara, you're allowed to go and cut the hair. Umachapsu le ksusoi, and you're allowed to go and wash the shrouds. Voisin le oroin, and you're allowed to go and construct a coffin. Minasorim hamenu sorim me erev yom. Now this Tanakama is like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, when Rabbi Yehuda said, no, asur elam ken yishi moinasan. You have to have pre-arranged boards, pre-cut boards. You can't go and start cutting your boards now. So the Tanakama of this price is like Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, on the other hand, is like the Tanakama of our Mishnah. Oymer afavim eitzim anasra betzinim betoy paisi. You're allowed to even go and manufacture the boards now, which is like the Tanakam of our Mishnah that permits you even to go and make the Nasarim of the board. So the Braisa is a role reversal in terms of the Mandiyama, the sequence. Oh, and at the Mishnah, the Tanakam says you can make boards. The Yehuda says no. And in the Braisa, the Tanakam says don't make boards. And Shimon Gamliel says you can.
Betzina,
you don't want to make a public commotion, like Rashi said, because you don't want to spoil the Simchat Yontif, and you don't want people to go and say, oh, you're allowed to go and do work on Yontif. Betzina. The Mishnah. If a person wants to get married, don't have the marriage take place on Chol HaMoed, not with a psula, not with an almona, v'loy miyabmin, don't be miyabim. Why? Because it's a simcha. Now that sounds a little bit strange. It's an oxymoron. If it's a simcha, he should definitely do an Chol HaMoed.
He did do the spadim because of the simcha.
Exactly. You want simcha. So why would you say that it's awesome? See, Mar will discuss that momentarily. However, if we're talking about returning and remarrying his own Gerusha, that you're allowed to do. Why, says Rashi? Ain't a simcha kol kach. A first marriage with a woman, that's a tremendous simcha. Marrying her the second time, what's the reason why he gave her get in the first place?
Right.
Obviously, things were not that rosy. So, okay, he's decided to take her back. That's a wonderful thing, says Givaldik. Brother Shai told us the other day that the American statistics are that a regular marriage, unfortunately, I think the majority do not work out, and there's a get. But if it's a master grishasa, then more than 80% those work. So therefore, lechatchila, one should always marry one's grusha before you get regular married. So then you're
married before you divorce her.
Exactly, marry with okay, whatever. Okay, let's talk seriously. So back to our Mishnah. So master Yishos is not such a big simcha. So therefore, that you're allowed to do in Chol HaMoed. We're going to see in the Gemara in a moment why. But is isha tachshitah b'mayit? The woman's allowed to make her tachshitim. Now we think of tachshitah, we think of jewelry.
Right.
Most women don't make jewelry; they wear jewelry. And when the Gemara uses the term, the Mishnah uses the term tachshitim, often it doesn't mean jewelry; it means something that adorns her, which would be makeup, shmiras. So it says in our Mishnah, the woman's allowed to go and shmir herself on Chol HaMoed, no problem. If you do imer loisosud. Yeah, smearing with eye makeup and all that type of stuff is wonderful, but don't use a hair depilatory. They should nibble hula because that's a nibble. Meaning, nowadays, of course, we have the electric shavers, and if a person is removing hair, let's say from the legs or something, you have the razors, blah, blah, blah. But in the good old days, they used to go and use what in Eretz Yisrael was called a few years ago, mishi, which was a powder, a shaving powder. That shaving powder you'd go and mix together with water and you'd go put it on your face. And I remember it because as a bucher, many in the yeshiva used to use that. They felt that there was a machloikis whether or not you can use electric shavers. Here in America, everybody followed the psak, I wouldn't say everybody, but most people followed the psak of Rav Moshe Zatzal, that it was permissible. In Eretz Yisrael, many followed the psak of the Chsoinish, who was machmir, and he said you cannot use electric shavers. So if you want to have a clean shaven face, what do you do? They have to put on this powder. This powder, first of all, burned because it had in it
an acid
in it. That's how it removed the hair. If you left it a minute or 2 minutes too long, it would go and you'd have red marks on your face for the next 2 or 3 days because the acid burned into the face. And if you left it 1 minute too short, then you'd still have a stubble. And you couldn't put it on a second time because then the whole face would turn, it would be red hot. In addition to all of that, it also had a terrible stench. You could smell it from a mile away. It was gefährlich. Anyway, so that's what Rabbi Yehuda is telling us. Don't use that type of shaving powder, although eventually it's going to make for beautiful skin for the woman. Yeah, gewaltig. But during Chol HaMoed, during that period of time that she's wearing it, it's going to be gefährlich. Now we're talking about doing tefillah, sewing. If you're a hedjit, you're not a professional, you're an amateur, then you can do normal tefirois, because anyway, you're not doing anything real professional. So nishka grois samalucha. For umman, if however you're talking about a professional sewer, like a professional seamstress or a tailor, so then machlev, then they cannot make your normal stitches, they have to make stitches like machlev. What does machlev mean? Mitchell will see tomorrow, the next day, the word machlev comes from the word kelev, which is a dog. And it tells us that you have to go and make the stitches like the teeth of the kelev, which are jagged, which means it's not even, but rather comes out, it protrudes here, up and down, back and forth.
A shinoi.
And if you're not happy with a shinoi, after Yom Tov, you'll redo it and you do it normally. Umasargis means that you're putting on the long ropes or cables on the bottom of the bed
frame.
Post or bed frame to put on top of that. Today we put mattress, sometimes Chazal will put straw or something else to lie on. So the Masargir of Samitois means that you're allowed to go and construct. You take the ropes that you bought or that you made and you put it on the bed frame. Rav Yossi says you cannot go and put it on the bed frame, but if they are there already, Mematchin, you can go and make them tighter, you can tighten them, you know, by turning the screw on the side and things of that nature. So the Tanakam allows for more malach, if you will. The Yossi says, don't do the big malach of the ropes, but you can tighten it and adjust it. Zokimar, we started off the Mishnah, don't get married on Yom Tov because it's Simcha Yilai. Simcha Yilai may have. That's a reason why you should permit it. Rashi says, Simcha Asur B'Yom Tov. You're not going to have Simcha? Forget, that's the time to have Simcha. Amr Yira Mishmu B'chin Amr Rebbe Loza Amr B'Oishia V'Amri Lo Amr B'Loza Amr B'Chanina L'Fishay Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. You have the Simchas Yom Tov and you have the Simcha of getting married. You don't want to go and ma'arv one Simcha with the other Simcha. What is the reason? Why can't you marry somebody?
Yeah.
What's the issue over here? So the Tosis down below says that he believes that the reason is because it's like being oisa mitzvois chavilois chavilois. You're not supposed to go and pile up mitzvahs all at one time, as if to say, let's go and finish it off. You know, I got to do this mitzvah. Come on. Okay.
Usually not the mitzvah you have that svara.
Yeah.
if it comes to certain mitzvahs, I can think it's a burden.
Right.
But simcha, it seems counterintuitive to say that this would be the you want to get rid of it. You want to get it over with. It's
it sounds like that throughout the year, I don't have time for this simcha. Since during Chol HaMoed I got time off, nobody's working during Chol HaMoed, this would be a perfect time to go and push in this simcha as well and take care of both of them. Schedule it at that time. If you look at the toises down below, you see, the Fisha Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, it's about 10 lines from the bottom of the Omid. There's the Kosev, Kedarish the Kaman Mikro, we're going to have a Pasuk for Shlomo Melech, Ubi Yishalmi Darish, Minachsiv Malei Shavu Asois. That's of course by Lavan and Rachel and Leah, Malish Wazois, Vinitnu Lechal Gam Mezois. Meaning, let's wait when Yaakov Avinu came and he complained to Lovan, to his Shver, what did you do? You fooled me. I wanted to go marry Rachel and you gave me Leah. He said, no problem. Let's wait 1 week. Not Malish Wazois, wait 7 years. Wait 1 week and after Sheva Brochus, you'll be able to go and marry. Why do you have to wait a week? Why can't you go marry her immediately? Reason of time, Nirek Tzas. If you have multiple mitzvahs, or in this case multiple simchas, you really can devote all of your energies, your amach evorim, sagidim, on one particular simcha, because you're focusing on the other simcha. You should have your heart free from any other disturbances, any other requirements. That's what we have in the Sechtes Brachas, that a real chassan at those times did not have to learn krishma. You just devoted all of your focus, your time, your attention, everything on this mitzvah of marrying your wife. And therefore you're going to neglect having that simcha. Normally during Chol HaMoed Lechvayis on sukkahs, you'd make sure to go into the sukkah and have a special lechayim and a special this and it's for kubit the Chol HaMoed and blah blah blah. But because of the fact that you're getting married, okay, I'll go to the sukkah a little bit later. I'm too busy now with getting married. So you don't want to make chavilas. Amar. Because he kind of puts Simchas Regel to the side and he does other Simcha. Now, this reason sounds almost identical to the. Rabbi, please put us on mute. Rabbi, please put us on mute. The Gemara says, the two reasons are almost the same. What's the Nafkimina? The Nafkimina is that the first reason applies across the board to any other Simcha. If there's any other Simcha that he can bring to the fore, then don't do it. Chavilas, chavilas, simcha, b'simcha. According to the second reason, it's only simchas ishtar. Now, where is the simchas ishtar? What is this based on? The Gemara is going to bring it right now. Omer Abaye, the Rabbi Yosef, Chodeh Rabbi Rufuna. Rabbi Rufuna said, "Neishem miniach simchas haregel, bois b'simchas ishtar." That second reason. Chodeh Rabbi Rufuna, the Rabbi. Oh, Rabbi already said that. The Omer Chitina, Daniel Bartina, Omer Rab. Minayin sheinoyis noshim lemoyin shenema v'samachta b'chagiach b'chagiach v'loy b'ishtecha. Oh, so it's a special din that only applies to ishtai, it doesn't apply across the board. So that's why there would be enough community lalocha between the first reason and the second reason, if you can conjure up another type of simcha. In fact, the bottom toises talks about whether you're allowed to go and make a simcha of a bris. Of course, the bris has to be the eighth day. It doesn't mean you have to go and make a festive bris with the balloons and with the teddy bears and the railroad tracks and everything going around and around, as well as whether you can go and make a sudas pinyin aben. Anyway, the bottom toises talks about other types of simcha, whether or not you can or cannot do it on Chol HaMoed. Beginning back to our Gemara, what's the reason? Why should have a simcha? Hecha, hecha, v'loy b'ishtecha. Ula Omar, Ula says a much more practical reason. Mepnei ha toirach. What's the toirach, says Rashi? If you're making chasana, oh, there are 101 headaches that you have to deal with. Make sure the musicians come on time and make sure you have the mechitza in place and make sure you have all the table cards on the table and the caterer shouldn't go and deliver the first course too early and not too late. A million, and the Masada Kedusha going to be there, and what about the Eidim? So it's a toirach. The obvious question is, the Mishnah says that the reason why you can't do it is because of the simcha. And here he's saying the reason is because of the tirach. Are you telling me that Ula is arguing with our Mishnah? Ula, after all, is only an Amora. He can't argue with the Mishnah. So if you look, there's a short toisis over here. Mepnei ha-toirach. U'masnisin hachi perushai. Mepnei she-simchi lo'ai. Tereach ba-yoyisim midai. Since it's his simcha, if it's somebody else's chasana, all I have to do is make sure that I show up sometime or other during the shmorg or during the service or during the sometime I have to show up. But the person who's making the simcha, he's got to be there for the first minute if everything has to be perfectly in place. So therefore, when it says the Mishnah Menisha Simcha Hilai, it means this Simcha is on
him,
on his shoulders. He has to also have the burden of making sure that the Simcha is complete and perfect the way it's supposed to be. So it's really not talking the Simcha aspect as much as the Tircha aspect. Finally, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafgama made Bittul Peri Verivya. What's a Bittul Peri Verivya? So look at the last Rashi. Dishori Nisun Biyontif Ein Odom Noisi Isha Kola Shona Kula El Mamten Adam Moid She Yoisa Suda Achas La Moid Ula Nisun. We all know that it's expensive to go and make a chasana. That's why in the COVID days, it was such a machai, a person, a lot of people tried to chapa around chasanas, then they made a chasa for 25 or 50 people, and those chasas were beautiful, much more beautiful than the 800 million mad march of all the people coming, and you don't know who came, who didn't come. Did Yankel Smith come to the chasana? You know what? I can't recall. I have no idea. If you only have 25 people, every person is
everybody counts.
Everybody counts, and everybody is special. And so therefore, a person might want to postpone a chasana until Chol HaMoed. If you postpone it to Chol HaMoed, anyway, people get together for festive sudois, so I'll be able to go and cut my course. That's why I don't make it in Chol HaMoed, for that reason. Therefore, we had several reasons why you shouldn't make a chasana on Moed, but you should make chasanas throughout the year. So all of those singles among us, hopefully we'll all get married in Mirz Hashem with the Richtige Kalis and the Richtige time. Have a wonderful day. Baruch Abba Tzolcha Zayimei. The Shlomo Malatov again on the angle
here. Also, the back of the
So
it's here. Shelly, thank you for sharing all of that important information.
Yeah, Kaidish.